You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Out of that group of four, the top four, he was fourth last year in the league when it comes to just watching them play. The gap has never been this ridiculously big gap when it comes to Patrick, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. All three of those guys had better seasons last year than Patrick did, yes. But there is the reality that Patrick, not once, not twice, but three or four times, has played his absolute best when it's been needed the most. Those other three guys haven't necessarily done that.
ESPN's Dan Orlovsky talking about the ESPN top 10 QB list. You knew this one was going to get a lot of leg room for that.
It's going to get a lot of legs because also it's right before everyone starts showing up for camp. It's the last vestige of ESPN shows being able to yell at each other for rankings.
Oh, they can find time to do that in August.
You're right, actually.
They can find time.
That's
this
right.
Is the last, like, honest one.
Yes.
But after that, like a random Tuesday, Wednesday in
that's
August?
That's true.
Yeah,
it'll be a
baby.
List that they just come up with of like.
Exactly. And all the power to them.
Where would LeBron James rank in terms of quarterbacks?
To be fair, on the quarterback rankings today.
Probably five because they're starving for it.
Yes. But we watched it today before we jumped on. They were talking about SEC Media Day. And they were also talking about a quarterback list there.
Yes.
A kind of fake one, but it was more just like they were throwing it up there. Of like, well, who would be the top SEC quarterback? Arch Manning or name a bunch of other guys here.
And,
I also, by the way, as a Texas fan, would not rank Arch number one. I'm not that crazy.
I do believe it was Jordan Rodgers that said that on ESPN. Of
he's not even top five.
He's not even top five in the SEC.
Which that feels insane.
Yeah, maybe he was right about the hype train's too high.
Yeah.
But then he went back on it and went contrarian, like an overcorrection. And it's like, no, it's okay. Both of these things could be true where he's the overhype is real, but also – not, he's just not the top guy. The other part of it is an overcorrection where, no, that doesn't mean that he's not a top five quarterback within the conference.
I just think it's ridiculous. I know he played predominantly against poor competition. You could not have watched him and been like, it's a little overrated. He's going to be amazing. He just may not be the best quarterback in the SEC right now because guys like Garrett Nussmeier at LSU and Lenore Sellers at South Carolina have already started a ton of games and are already awesome. Sellers is my dark horse pick to win the Heisman. I know someone on ESPN said that too. I maybe even was Dan Orlovsky, who we just heard from. I like him a lot. He gives off that vibe, not the exact size. He's not 6'5", 240 like Cam Newton, but he gives off the vibe like Cam Newton at Auburn. Of a guy that just kind of changes the trajectory of a program. What Shane Beamer has been able to do at South Carolina, they even got a stud edge rusher in Dylan Stewart coming into his sophomore year. Hell, the Bills have taken advantage of a bit of the rise of South Carolina in drafting TJ Sanders. I think Sellers is going to be unbelievable. Maybe, I don't know about necessarily winning the SEC, but also I think the days of dynasties in the SEC and undefeated seasons might be over with because of NIL.
And that's the good thing about NIL.
Is that it The big dogs are still going to eat first. And as a mid-major town with Buffalo, you're still going to get picked apart. But it will allow teams like South Carolina, who, while have been in the SEC, have very much been the second fiddle, they'll be able to rise a little bit here.
That's the downside, though, of the NIL, is that the big teams are going to eat first and foremost.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a power conference, like, that's the problem with NIL, I think, is you're never going to have that outside chance. But rarely often did you get it before that anyway.
Yeah,
of like
it doesn't
your random
change much.
Kentucky or Vanderbilt seasons. Mm-hmm. Or your year
I didn't
where,
say the years where Stanford was good in football.
Yeah, the years where those things happen. Me, a Purdue supporter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to see the Boilermakers become a contender in the Big Ten ever again in my life.
No.
Like, not in football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a basketball state. It's a basketball school. It all makes sense. They'll randomly need to be good one year in order to like ride the momentum.
Indiana last year.
But even then, they might struggle now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still only Indiana University. And in football, that doesn't carry the weight that it does on the court.
Especially, you know, Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm going to Notre Dame first.
Yes, exactly. Like, you're not even the best. You're not even the best football team in your state, let alone your conference.
Yeah. I mean, it's
most prestigious, not even close. You're not even in the same atmosphere as the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. As much as I hate them, you have to understand that the brand alone is indomitable. Why the likes of Purdue still has a rivalry game with them?
Oh, some of those Big Ten rivalry games are ridiculous.
The battle for the Shillelagh?
Yeah. I know Notre Dame's not a Big Ten, but they're in that territory.
They've lost the last nine.
They have some of the ridiculous rivalries, too.
Purdue has lost the last nine in that rivalry game, okay? It's kind of becoming a farce.
Yeah. Last thing on this that I do want to say. It's one of those where the brands have been around for so long. Nothing the sport did outside of straight up stripping them of scholarships to equal out mid-major teams would put everyone else on an equal footing. Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama.
And that would be bad for business.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the big programs, I've mentioned this with college basketball a lot, and maybe I'm a bit too much of a ratings junkie now, but I don't really care. It paints the best picture of what, you know, people want to see. And people want to see the big brands. They want to see them in the big games. They want to see coach legacies on the line. What's going to happen here? You're going to get that in NIL. You may not get as deep of teams. Now, if we're going to start doing rankings in 10, 15 years of the best teams of all time, most of these teams that win in the next 10, 15 years probably won't be on them. Their teams are simply not deep enough. They are losing backups to other SEC and Big Ten teams who are willing to pony out the purse and really go after this, the checkbook. But you're still going to have great teams. It just, however, will be a lot of the brands that you already know and love and or hate. But I won't be against Notre Dame coming back. I haven't really seen a great Notre Dame team all but a few years in my life. And I like Marcus Freeman a lot. USC hasn't been legitimately relevant, long-standing, more than just a year where they go 11-2 and go to a Rose Bowl since the early 2000s. As a Texas fan, the same thing. The last time they were really relevant was 09 up until the last few years. You know, I'm okay with those big brands coming back because we all like watching them.
But the big brands not being dynasties is also the other thing about it that makes it better, because they are still brand names, but they're not dominating year in and year out and year in and year out.
We're not going to get the Nick Saban Alabama run.
Never again. And honestly, thank goodness for that.
Because it felt like Georgia was going
to
do that.
Georgia was on the cusp of starting to do that, actually. Like, Kirby Smart has built a great program there, but now...
A lot of legal issues, but yeah.
Yeah. That's sometimes...
A lot of legal issues.
You sacrifice the...
Yeah.
You sacrifice the character for the talent, and that's what you get. But it's probably the mix of, like, it's perfect for both worlds, but there is a clear loser in this. It's all mid-majors, and it's all lower-tier brands of big programs. They're never going to be the same again, or they are going to just forever stay the same.
Yeah.
They're never going to have that flash in the pan anymore. Mid-majors are a different story because you can at least secure a brand of, we are the school that gets you to your school.
Which
is a great way to go about it.
Yeah.
We're the school that gets you to the school.
Because it's going to be one of those, like, let's be honest, UB, Ohio, any of the MAC schools are not competing for a national championship.
Correct.
It would take a generational run to compete in something, say, like the Cotton Bowl or the Rose Bowl or Fiesta Bowl, anything like that.
And college football rosters are too big to make that the case, where, like, you have this roster of players that suddenly is able to compete with the big wigs of college football for an entire season.
Teams like Boise State took advantage at the right time and even still got a little screwed over.
Still, even like if you go unbeaten in the MAC, things still have to fall properly in place for you to make it into the top 12 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's no automatic bid for you. It may be looked at as, oh, you just play in the MAC.
Now, I mean, you had runs like that, like Western Michigan with P.J. Fleck. They were a highly rated team that I think they did go to the Cotton Bowl. They got blown out. Ball State, when they lost to UB in 08, they were undefeated, ranked 12th in the country. Nowadays, especially if we go to 16-team playoff, they're in.
They're in if you get to 16. But as of right now, there will be arguments made against you.
Mm-hmm.
And the College Football Playoff Committee will look at this and go, is this bad business? What if we put a MAC school in here that, yeah, they went 12-0. What if I put them in there?
No one watches.
And they get the teeth kicked in.
Yeah.
Like, what happens then? Then we never do this again.
You saw it last year, too. Penn State SMU. Yes. Blowout. SMU's a good team. And also, and I hate bringing this up, but I think it's worth mentioning, The MAC plays their MAC championship in Indianapolis. It's not a highly sold out game. Now, to be fair, a lot of these conference championships are not. I mean, the Big 12 is also famously one of them when last year was Iowa State and Arizona State. And in Arlington, Texas, in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, there was room. People could come in.
It was the Cowboys Stadium, though, too. Let's not make it.
But that also is where people do look at, like, yeah, what is the brand size? How many people actually tune in to watch this? Boise State has built up over now almost three decades. They've been building up their brand of multiple big, you know, wins, dominating the WAC and then eventually the Mountain West, to where now people just know Boise State. You know them as the mid-major program
they
in college football.
They're a brand.
They're the Gonzaga of college football.
But they're also a brand that was established well before the NIL was even a threat to be a thing.
Yeah.
Them and TCU are the teams that you immediately thought of the mid-major types.
I'm glad
that you can – they can hang.
Yeah.
These guys can hang. They've shown it historically that they can do it. And for Boise State to make its return, it's not a coincidence that this new day and age of college football is here, and Boise State suddenly is back on the map.
Part of it. TCU got the bump. They left. I think they were in the Mountain West first, and then they jump, or the WAC. One of those two.
Correct.
They do get the jump, though, to the Big 12. They join the big dogs. You know, UCF has kind of done the same thing. They've now joined the Big 12. Boise State got screwed over by the Pac-12. Boise State absolutely should have become a member of that group.
Teams were scared of them.
And for whatever happened, it was teams, I think, both scared of them, but also kind of the feeling of, is the market of Boise, Idaho really going to do anything for us? Well, number one, you look at Utah, it's just going to build up the conference's brand. But Boise, and that's where I said Boise got screwed over. If they had gone to the Pac-12, number one, most of us aren't even talking about them as like a darling. They would be part of the Power 4, Power 5, like TCU was when they made a national championship. They'd been in the Big 12 for years, and even then they got blown out. It's one of the worst national championship games of all time. Boise, you know, makes it last year. They give Penn State a hell of a run. They almost have a Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
Which, if you would have said that even 10 years ago, would have felt absurd. Now, it's just kind of like, it's Boise State, baby. Like, it's what they do.
It's what they do. And that's the part of it, like, with college football that that's the part I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Is you have established yourself through years of fighting through the system, honestly. Like, Boise State and TCU, they had an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
TCU joins a power conference. Boise State, despite not having one of those in their pocket, they are still a brand name and still a spectacle for players to want to get to in Boise, Idaho. Not what I would call a destination city.
Yeah, now they're going to be one of the main members of the revitalized Pac-12.
And that's going to be a good deal. When the Pac-12 is able to get its stuff together all over again here, it's going to help them majorly.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's criminal that the Atlantic Coastal Conference has Stanford and Cal in it.
Yeah, you wonder how long that lasts if all of a sudden the Pac-12 comes back.
If the Pac-12 comes back, I'd expect those teams to jump right back over there, because then you would be able to stay within Power 5 conference sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you get to cut back down on your traveling costs.
And it's not like the ACC is, well, the Big Ten of the SEC, where you're like, oh, we have to stay.
Yeah.
Look at all the talent. It's not. It's Clemson, a few years Florida State,
but
and that's kind of about it.
But it's also a conference that you can take if you have a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the part of, like, we talk about the struggles of the mid-majors.
Mm-hmm.
Or the bottom-tier brands in a Power 5 conference.
Yep.
The ACC does not have that problem.
No.
I could look at any one of them. Except for, like, I don't know, Wake Forest.
Well, they had a few years, actually.
But
Sam Hartman years.
The Sam Hartman years, good Lord. But do I consider them a threat, though, to get an automatic bid for a playoff?
Not really, no.
No. But all it takes with the ACC is one good year. In the Big Ten, you got to deal with SC, Oregon, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. I need to clear all five of these hurdles just to have a chance to make it to the conference championship game.
And we're all likelihood I'm going to get blown out by the one I didn't play yet.
Yes.
Realistically.
It is. Who's the buzzsaw I didn't meet? Because that's the one that's going to chop this season in half.
Yeah. Penn State ultimately has a great season last year, but they lose to Oregon in the Big Ten championship. Or Ohio State doesn't even win the damn thing. They don't even make the game.
They don't even make the game, and yet
they walk to the national championship.
Oh, my God. That was still – And that, like, the Big Ten has become such a buzzsaw for itself. Like, Ohio State has one bad day against Michigan where they decide to try to play bully ball with the bullies of the Big Ten when it comes to we are defensively sound, run the football. Oh, you want to try to beat us at our game? You're really going to try that with us?
It's just so ridiculous.
Okay.
So ridiculous.
I'm not going to stop my enemy from making a mistake.
Yeah. We can't play quarterback, but you're going to also force yourself to run the ball.
And that's where it's such a weird story of you did not even get to appear in your conference championship game, let alone get dusted in it. And yet you still got the easiest path somehow to the college football championship.
Where I'm glad they fixed up the seedings to make that not like that.
That's good.
But it also was very – and that I think might be a thing that starts to happen more and more. It was still very weird for as dominant as Ohio State was for them to not be the Big Ten champions and national champions.
Mm-hmm.
That always used to go hand in hand. You had to win your conference and then you could
but
get
you know
a
who's
shot
the first
to
team
win
that broke
champion.
That? Ohio State.
Which year was it? It wasn't this past year.
It wasn't the fact that they like – oddly enough, they were the benefactors of that argument first because I don't remember the year, but it was back when it was the Lloyd Carr Wolverines against Tressel's Ohio State in their later years of coaching where they play the best game of the year against each other in the game. But Michigan loses and their pitch for the BCS championship is we played the best against Ohio State. This should be our time. And the ruling initially was you have to win your conference in order to make it to the national championship game.
Hell yeah.
And then Ohio State becomes the beneficiary of this and falls at the hands of LSU.
Is that 2006? No, that's when they lose to Florida. Oh, 2007. There we go. Yeah. Because, Ohio State is the Big Ten champion. Yeah, oh, okay. So they get the championship.
I don't know if it's that year then, but, it was Alabama that stopped that from happening, not Ohio State. Was the one that they had a rematch in a championship game because.
Against LSU, it was one of the worst. So bad. It's like 21-0. It was awful.
But hey, they were seen as the best team. But wait, didn't they not win their conference? Isn't that what you guys always stood on business about?
Yep, 2011, Alabama, consensus national champion, 21-0 win over LSU. LSU, though, is the SEC champion after they beat Georgia 42-10 and also beat Alabama early in the year in another awful game, 9-6 overtime win. Just an awful game.
Yeah. So it was one of these weird things of like, you had that. You were standing on business for that, and then all of a sudden, you chose to depart from that.
Mm-hmm. Alabama, always getting it.
Always the favorite child all of a sudden in the 2000s.
803-0550, the number to call. I do like this era, though, college football. Again, I'm excited for UB this year. I've kind of spoken on that a lot.
We are looking at a potentially, hopefully, nasty year in the MAC. With Pete Lembo at the helm.
Through BetMGM, they're second only to Toledo in terms of odds to win the MAC championship.
Which makes sense.
And that's unknown at quarterback play. So we'll see how that goes. I like the era of college football we're in. I don't love it because I do want there to be some safety bars. I'm not saying you need a full salary cap, but it can't be the Wild West out there. But college football's always kind of went through this run of things.
You know what kind of made it a really easy... Like, here's a pitch for, like, how to fix it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it up within the college football game, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
If you limit the transfer portal, then you don't lose your entire roster if you're playing as a mid-major, right?
Yeah, it's tough to be like, hey, beat your guys out, you know, your teammates to get to, like, the 15 or 20 guys that can leave, whatever it is. Like, that's going to make it weird. I don't want to go back to the days where you have to sit out a year because coaches don't have to sit out if they leave a job to go to another one. I don't want that. It might be one of those you're going to have to limit how many transfers you can bring in.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of these kids do enter the portal with the knowledge that one or two teams, I'm going to be on one of these two teams.
And there are kids that are entering the transfer portal, for example, following a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you want to be there because this guy recruited you. He believed in you. You don't want to try to risk it, like, you know, the devil you do versus the devil you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you get a new boss, for example, it might be a little uncomfortable. Do you just follow the old guy that you know that that helped lead you to being kind of relatively a success?
Mm-hmm.
So there are reasons like that as well. Oh, he's going to a different program. I'm probably going to want to go with him because I'm familiar with that system.
Mm-hmm.
It's schematic fits as well.
Yeah.
So there are reasons like that. But I do think there should be a little bit of a competition for, okay, who's leaving the mid-major for the big league?
On that, Brian Koziel just texted into me too. You know, I think we've all kind of been there as UB fans, wanted to see UB jump from the MAC, leave the MAC. There were reports last week Ohio was maybe looking to leave. I think they squashed those reports, but when there's smoke, there's fire, especially with conference realignment. I always believe most of it.
Always believe in the chaos of conference realignment these days.
Big Ten makes sense most geographically. Brian mentioned that, but that's too big of a jump. I also don't think you have the infrastructure. You'd need a big stadium.
Not only the infrastructure, you don't have the talent to last.
Yeah, not even close.
I just talked about the plights of Purdue.
Yeah. I will say, though, and this is a conference I pushed for a while, and that is the American. They are likely going to be losing some teams to the Big 12 or the ACC, Tulane, and they will be looking for someone else. If you're at your best, and that's what Ohio's doing, they just won the MAC championship in dominant fashion. I think they just lost their coach as well. So for UB, and conference realignment will come fast, because you'll also have leagues like the Big Ten who will be looking at Rutgers going, what are you offering us? What are you genuinely offering us?
And at least Purdue can answer basketball.
Basketball, exactly.
Indiana, up until last year, the same answer, basketball.
Basketball.
I could offer you basketball.
Northwestern, GPA for the conference. It's the same with Vanderbilt and the SEC. I don't care if it's wrong.
Purdue answers exactly that as well. But like, yeah, like, you have answers. Mm-hmm. What is Rutgers giving me as a conference?
Mm-hmm. So I don't even think it's the New York market. I know that was a big reason why they were brought in initially, but their football program feels so dead. I don't even think you're getting that.
Yeah.
And so I wonder where it goes. I like the American, though. And that was the thing I loved, you know, back when the basketball program was as good as it was. 803-0550, the number two call. Well, let's go a little late. We'll go to Allie up here first. Allie, how are we doing today?
I'm great. How are you, fellas?
Doing well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's super funny you guys were talking about this, just like off-season talk. My dad and I were debating kind of what you guys were discussing. I'm from Wyoming originally and obviously became a Bills fan and follow you guys and all that now because of Josh. But, you know, we were just talking about the kind of impact that NIL has had on, you know, schools like Wyoming, obviously Boise. They've been beating us up for a while now, and San Diego as well. But, you know, it's interesting. We get dudes that come and they pop off and they play great. And, you know, our scouts at UW are the ones that are, you know, finding the talent and giving them chances. And then they come and they play for a year and they ball out. And then, you know, we just get bought out. We're, you know, we're the only university in the state. So it's like a huge part of the community. And very much a big part of like who we are as a state, but it's so challenging. And so we were kind of talking about like what safeguards do schools like that have where, you know, you spend all this time scouting these dudes and bring them in and they're great, but then, you know, getting bought out to, you know, to go to maybe a little bit of a more exciting place. Laramie, Wyoming, isn't that good? I mean, I went to school there and loved it, but, you know, it's not as exciting as those bigger schools. And so, I don't know. I'm not sure what the solution is, but that's kind of the great debate around Wyoming football is like, you know, if NIL had been in place, like, would we have kept Josh? And I would like to think that the person that he is, you know what I mean, the kind of man that he is, he would have stayed because Bull gave him a chance. And, you know, we all know the story. But I don't know. It's interesting being someone who's a lifelong fan. And, my dad played for Wyoming, and I went there. And just watching what that's done to our program as well, the debate just is super interesting. So I was just curious. I guess it's interesting to hear you guys' thoughts, and that's something we're talking about out here as well.
Yeah, Allie, thanks for the call. I want to jump more into this. I even love she brought up the idea of NIL was there, would Josh leave? And that's something
that's
I thought
a great
of.
Question.
I thought of in his second year of
maybe would he have wanted to jump to a bigger program? We got to take a quick time out here. I want to jump into that, though, after this. Derek, though, before we do that.
Before we do that, I want to make sure to remind everyone to celebrate 716 Day with Jeremy White at the BFLO Store's flagship location in the Transitown Plaza, Williamsville, on Wednesday, July 16th from 4 to 6 p.m. Spend $77.16 in-store or online, and you can score a free Go Bills cap while supplies last. Meet Bills and Bandits players, catch live music, exclusive getaways, shop the brand new tailgate collection. Don't miss it. And that is in just a couple days on Wednesday. Full details at BFLOshop.com, the BFLO store, official retailer of the Buffalo Bills. Derek and Zach here on the Extra Point Show. We'll be right back after.